Today we're telling a story that is unlike anything we've ever covered before. On July 14th, 2020, around midnight, 59-year-old Corinna Smith carried out an act of revenge so shocking that we just had to tell this story. We saw this story on TikTok, actually. Once we started looking into it for ourselves, we were overwhelmed with how crazy this case actually is. Some people are calling Corinna a hero, a saint, and even a queen for what she did. And what did she do? She took two tea kettles with water, boiled it until it reached an incredibly high temperature, and poured it into a garden bucket along with over 2 pounds of sugar, walked to her 81-year-old husband's bedside and poured it all over him, leaving him screaming and gasping for help. I know you're asking yourself, why does everyone support Corinna? Well, that's why we're telling the story. Because, well, he deserved it, some would say. This is the story of Corinna Smith.
As you heard from the intro, today's case is no secret. We are covering the assault and murder of Corinna Smith's husband of 38 years, Michael Baines. Before we continue telling the story of what happened, we need to go back and get caught up a bit. Because this case is so incredibly recent, we don't know much about Corinna's life except for a few facts. Corinna had lived a relatively normal life before this took place. She had 3 kids that we know of. Her son was named Craig, a daughter and a younger son named Michael Jr. She was married to Michael Baines, who is 22 years older than her. Her and her husband lived in Neston, which is a small suburb of Cheshire, England.
At the time of the incident, Corinna had actually been taking care of her husband, Michael, because he was 81, and he needed some long-term care because he had actually been in poor health recently, probably just being 81 years old, and that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So
just a few hours before the incident, on July 13th, Corinna and her daughter and son-in-law were doing some shopping. While shopping, Corinna gets a phone call from Michael Sr. He was asking where she was and practically demanding that she return home. He didn't seem to be in distress. It just sounded like he wanted her home. Apparently, Mr. Baines was incredibly controlling and wanted to know where Corinna was at all times.
Yeah. So,
what?
It's like there's witnesses to this and everything that he is just a controlling person. When people get older, they kind of get really controlling and clingy towards their loved ones.
Yes.
But this sounds to me like, because of the events that play out later, that he actually was just like that his whole life.
Yeah.
Corinna's daughter expressed that she didn't really like that he treated her mom like that, and he really has no right to be impatient with her. Like, she was literally just shopping.
That's not his... it is her dad, correct?
I think so.
Okay.
I've heard, like, conflicting things, but I think it is because Corinna was very young when they got together.
That's what I'm...
At the time, Corinna seemed to be really livid about getting the phone call, but soon seemed to, like, calm down and just, you know, let it go, because what else was she going to do? They spent the rest of the evening eating, spending time together, and drinking wine. This is where some stories and reports start to differ. Most of what you'll read or hear online is that Corinna's daughter, which we don't know her name, by the way, that's why we call her that, confided in her over a glass of wine that Michael had sexually abused her for years. Some sources say, though, that the true motive for the violent act was for revenge for him calling her and being impatient. We don't really believe that, though, because we aren't going to choose to ignore the fact that Corinna's daughter is more than likely a victim.
Yeah, and I feel like he had been that way their whole entire relationship.
Yeah.
So why would one call?
Mm-hmm. And she got mad and then let it go. So she's probably been dealing with this.
So, Corinna was extremely upset. I mean, actually livid.
Yeah.
Which, anybody would be. So, Corinna began thinking, Is that who Craig was talking about? Because that's one thing that we haven't mentioned until now. In 2007, Craig, which was Corinna and Michael's oldest son, died by suicide at the young age of 25 after he had pleaded and told his mother that a man had, quote, hurt him for many years. But he had refused to tell her who the man was. So Corinna began to put the pieces together and say, you know, this has to be the man he was talking about. So obviously, she's incredibly furious because now she's realizing that the man she's been married to for almost 40 years has been allegedly molesting their children for years and years, and it very well could have caused Craig to take his own life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her daughter was like, yeah, like, he was abused too, like, just like me for years, like, and they're full-grown adults at this point.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I mean, Craig was 25 when he killed himself.
Yeah, yeah. I think their youngest was, like, a teen, like, 17, 18.
Oh, okay.
However, according to MeAw.com, Craig had recently been imprisoned for assault. Justice Amanda Yip said, quote, he had been troubled before his death and had been to prison for a serious assault. You and other family members could not understand why Craig's life had taken this course. He had told you that the man he attacked had been a pedophile and that he had touched him sexually. The day before Craig's death, he had been in some distress and said, Mom, he's a pedophile. You understood him to be referring to the man he had assaulted. Craig seemed happier the next day and you did not explore what he had said further, end quote.
So, basically, Craig went to prison for assaulting somebody, and Corinna just assumed that when Craig randomly said he's a pedophile, that he was talking about the man he attacked, which we honestly don't blame her, and it makes sense. Like, who else would he be talking about besides the person that he had assaulted? But in this case, according to Corinna's daughter, he was talking about their dad, Michael.
Perfect. After their outing, Corinna's daughter and her husband dropped her off at their Neston home. Corinna obviously believed her daughter and believed that that's who Craig was, like, talking about. Like, I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Enraged and blinded by revenge, Corinna grabbed a large bucket from her garden. She went inside, as we said earlier, heated two tea kettles over the stove, mixed 2.2 pounds of sugar with the boiling water, and poured it over her sleeping husband's arms and torso. As he lay screaming and fighting, she ran to the neighbor's house crying. She told the neighbors, quote, I've hurt him really bad. I think I've killed him, end quote.
So the neighbors obviously call 911 immediately, and when the paramedics arrive, they find Michael moaning in excruciating pain on the bed. His body is covered in welts and burns, and the skin on his right hand was already starting to peel off. He told responding officers, quote, I just want to die.
Literally. I bet he does.
Yeah. He was rushed to the hospital, where they were able to keep him in the burn unit and in stable condition for a couple of weeks, actually. But eventually, he did succumb to the injuries, and he died in the ICU on August 18th, 2020, exactly 5 weeks after the incident.
Slow and painful.
I mean, you would hope, but probably not.
Amber wants this person to die.
I can't help it.
I know, like, seriously.
Don't.
Don't
touch children. Any child. I don't care whose it is.
Okay. We're not really sure if he was arrested immediately after the assault. We're not really sure if she was arrested immediately after the assault. We couldn't find many articles on the in-betweens of the case because it's actually illegal in the UK for reporters to report on an open investigation. And I actually found that out through My Favorite Murder podcast a while back. They did an episode on open investigation from the UK, and they were sent an official letter from the Crown asking them to remove the episode immediately before the charges were filed. So we can't find much information about that, unfortunately. But she was probably arrested.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They really protect their citizens.
Well, that's good. But Okay, but because this investigation is now technically closed, as of July of this year, we can report on some of the things that happened during the trial and so on. So, Corinna would go to trial at the Chester Crown Court in July of 2021. She sat through the 5-day trial, hoping that the courts would see her side of the circumstances. She said that she would plead guilty to manslaughter, but not murder. This was not good enough for the courts, so they decided to go ahead and charge her for murder.
Right. She should have got manslaughter. Sorry.
I mean, she should have just got to go home.
Literally. That's what everyone says online, you know?
Because pedophiles are sick.
Yeah. Judge Amanda Yip went on to say regarding the death of Corinna's son, Craig, quote, "This is something that you have felt guilty about ever since. You blamed yourself for Craig's death, although you had no reason to. Your trial could not and did not explore the truth of the allegations made against your husband. The prosecution accepted that the allegations were made and that you believed them. No doubt the revelations were extremely distressing for you," end quote. So she's like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but he didn't have his day in court. So like, we have to deal with that. You murdered him and we don't know that it's true. I know it doesn't seem right, but it's like, you know.
But did they like get her daughter on the stand?
I don't know.
Her daughter and the other son probably too.
Yeah. There were witnesses for both sides and I literally couldn't find anything. I couldn't find a picture of Michael Baines. I looked on newspapers.com, ancestry.com. I looked in the obituaries of all the major English newspapers.
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything about Craig. Couldn't find anything about Michael or the court hearing. They really don't release much.
Okay. So she went on to say, quote, Justice Yip added, "Although the background provides some explanation as to why you did what you did, I'm sure you know that it cannot provide an excuse. Your actions cannot begin to be justified, whatever you believe your husband had done. You've taken Mr. Baines' life and caused terrible grief and shock for his children and those who loved him. The moving and dignified statements from his daughters and your son make that clear. Killing Mr. Baines also took away any opportunity for the allegations to be tested. That took away his right to a fair trial, bearing in mind that everyone is innocent until proven guilty. I have no doubt that he has caused untold pain to Mr. Baines' children. The allegations are left hanging but unproven. This is a quite dreadful situation for the whole family. They are in no way to blame for any of this, and they deserve the utmost sympathy."
I think that was really well said for her.
Yeah.
She's like, I literally can't do anything, but like, I understand.
Yeah, and that makes me think that like, he didn't abuse their son because it didn't say...
The youngest son?
Yeah, because it said that it caused, you know, pain for his daughters. So did he have other children?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. So, he was old as frick when they got together.
So.
During the sentencing on July 9th, just a few days ago, Justice Yip said, "I sentence you on the basis that your intention was to cause serious harm rather than to kill. Further, that intention was formed while you were in a state of distress."
And this was not a long-held and carefully formed plan you made up of materials you already had at home. I accept that your initial reaction had been to call the police and that the intent to harm your husband only developed later when you were home and dwelling on what you had been told.
Corinna Smith, for the murder of Michael Baines, I sentence you to life imprisonment. The minimum term will be one of 12 years, less the 166 days that you have spent on remand in custody and 96 days credit for the time spent on a qualifying curfew.
That term represents the minimum period you will be required to serve. After it is served, there is no guarantee that you will be released at that time or at any particular time thereafter. It will be for the parole
board?
Oh, God. It will be for the parole board to decide if and when you are fit to be released.
You must also understand that if and when you are released, you will remain subject to license for the rest of your life and may therefore be liable to be recalled and to continue detention if reoffended, or if you reoffend, end quote.
License? What is that?
I don't know. Some sort of British thing.
Oh, okay. The prosecutors had made enough of a case to get her convicted, but obviously there's still so many questions that are left. Did he deserve it? I mean, did he really deserve it? Is this something you would have personally done if you were in Corinna's position? The prosecution could not deny that the crime itself was especially vicious because of the use of sugar in the water, making it extra sticky and thick. If she is released on parole in 12 years, she will be 71 years old, and it will be 2033. Now, we've told you the story of Corinna Smith Baines. Unfortunately, there are all the facts we have. However, we would like to discuss and talk about some of the things people are saying online about Corinna and the case in general.
Most of the comments on the TikTok video I saw are people asking if they can put money on her books.
Yes.
In prison. Which I
would
have
like
something.
To buy her a coffee.
I want to buy you a pack of cigarettes. The TikTok account, which is called Caught Podcast, highly recommend that. I love that account. Yes. Made a follow-up TikTok telling her viewers that she understands that people want to send money to Corinna. So she agreed to email Corinna and get her prisoner number, etc. And she's like, this has millions of views. She's like, dude, millions of people want to send you money, okay, Corinna? She said in the comments of that video that she ended up getting an email back from Corinna, and Corinna said that she does not want money, but she does welcome letters from anyone who would like to reach out. If you want to send an email to Corinna, you can email her on emailaprisoner.com, and her ID is A348ENHMPSTAL England. It's 65p in, you know, English money to send an email, or 90 cents in USD. So you guys can send her however you feel.
So some people on TikTok have commented things like, I'm still having trouble seeing what she did wrong. And there's a trending hashtag right now called Free Corinna. Someone on the original TikTok video said, but if she went to the police about the abuse he caused, you know they would have done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, especially if he was 81. They wouldn't have done anything.
And isn't it like...
statute of limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be in England, but it's like 7 years in the States, isn't it?
Yeah, and Craig's not here. And if he didn't do anything to the younger boy, and Corinne's the only living witness, they'd be like, you're grown. Like, why do you care? He's 81. Just leave him alone.
I know.
It's so awful, but that's how they would be.
And that comment has well over 140,000 likes. And needless to say, people on TikTok are demanding for her to be released. Someone also said, I love this for him. Oh my God.
Love that. God, they're so brutal.
But one of the most heartbreaking comments said, honestly, after losing her son, I can see why she threw her life away to do this, and I don't blame her.
Does that make you want to crawl in a hole?
Yeah. That's sad, and that's true.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, this is what I can do to avenge my son's death.
Yeah.
And no one can make you die by suicide. But if you've been abused...
Yeah, and there's no telling what he was telling him, and he probably didn't think anybody would believe him, and all kinds of stuff.
You have some responsibility.
And because if he would have said something, his sister would have had to have admitted her truth, too, and she might have not been ready to tell her truth.
Oh, for sure. Especially being a girl.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's awkward. And, you know, she, by this time, she has her own life. She has a husband and everything. It's hard to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And, but of course, there are people that do support Michael's side. Amber is literally gagging. And I think this is where the problem can occur, is like when you don't get the chance for someone who is allegedly a pedophile, who probably is one, when they don't get their day in court, you'll always have that group of people that's like, how do you know for sure? Why did you do that without knowing for sure? And that's a fair question. I mean, everyone in theory has a right to a fair and speedy trial, obviously. But one woman on YouTube commented, what the heck? That gave me the creeps. The man was so old and he was about to snuff it and she did all this. 5 weeks to die? My God, that's hella awful. I mean, evil.
Well, abusing your children for years and years is hella evil too. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was about to snuff. Who cares? You could literally live to be like over 100 years old.
Yeah. For all we know, he just had a cold and she was taking care of him.
Literally.
Papa was literally like almost 80. He'll be 80 in April and he like does dishes and everything.
I know.
I'd burn him if I had to.
My granny, she was 81.
Yeah.
Or 82.
Yeah. And no one like really expected any.
I mean, she had a heart attack that was very unexpected.
Yeah. It's like she was always kicking, you know?
Yeah, bold. She, still bold.
Mm-hmm.
Drove, cooked, cleaned.
Yeah, that's literally how it is.
Laundry, everything by herself.
Had her hair done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And my papa, he's like,
he does push-ups.
Yeah, he's close to 90 years old.
It's scary. These old people around
really
here,
good
I'm like,
help. I don't know how, but
he is.
So, I know that she married a man 20 years her senior. She wants his money, and she wants a life she didn't want to be a carer. She just lacked any foresight at all. She probably just expected him to die from old age. To torture an old man like that for any reason is horrific. 100% a rest in peace is deserved. Can you imagine his final days? All that pain. Why? Because she wanted a life. Didn't want to be a carer, but she was too naive to think that she would actually have to care for her elderly husband. Is just a foresight of what happens to the middle-aged men who try and impress younger girls. Well, this is what happens if you stick it out. You end up despising your partner that you would have told you loved a million times.
Someone wrote that on a UK article in the comments. I don't agree. I don't think she wanted to get his money at all. They've been together for 38 years. She had a normal life.
Well, and she went and told the neighbors that
immediately.
She confessed. She didn't try to hide it or.
She's like, dude, I killed them.
Yeah. I mean, if she wanted to kill him and hide it.
Yeah.
There were ways that she could have.
Oh, yeah. And I don't agree with the judge when she said you wanted to kill him, not harm him. I think she just wanted to harm him. I don't know that she wanted to kill him. I personally wouldn't think that sugar water would kill anybody. I mean, obviously it's clear. But before this, if you would have asked me if that was possible, I'd say maybe. If you poured it down their throat.
Yeah.
But if you just put it on their body, I don't know. But because of his age, complications and everything, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's hard
but
to say.
Where did she come up with the sugar in the water? I wonder.
Dude, I don't know.
Because I've never.
She was like waiting for that. She's waiting for this day, I tell you what. Needless to say, there are points on both sides. So with that being said, what do you guys think? Let us know if you like more current event style episodes, even if they're not as long as usual.
Yeah, it's harder to find things about current.
Right.
Or recent.
But this is like a case we... I don't even know what category this fits in. This is insane. This is like Dexter. This is like,
I know,
revenge. Everyone talks about like, if my spouse did that to my kids, I would freaking shoot him. I would, well, she literally killed him.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about it? Like, are you happy? A lot of people are happy. So,
I mean,
clearly, you know,
Yeah, and even if he would have, like, went to a trial, which he wouldn't have if he was...
No, he wouldn't have.
Yeah, you know, sickly and old. Who is to say that, like... I mean, he probably would not have went to jail.
No.
He probably would have, like, been on house arrest for the rest of his life or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or some... I don't know what he would have done, but I don't think they would have put him in jail.
What would they do? Give him community service? He's literally sick.
Yeah, he can't, so...
What's he going to do? Pick up cans? He's 81.
Literally.
And sick.
Yeah.
So, let's see.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay.
So, personally, if I had to... I literally have to tell you my opinion. Yeah, I agree. I agree with what she did.
Mm-hmm.
I probably, well, it was very long and like he suffered.
Yeah.
If it were me, I probably would have just done it quick because I wanted him dead.
She probably didn't know he would. Like you said, even suffer, though.
She probably didn't think he'd die, honestly.
No.
If I just poured, like, hot liquid on somebody, my first thought would not be, oh, they're probably going to die.
Die, yeah.
You know, like, yeah. Even if it was boiling.
Yeah.
I get it, but it's like, what?
It's still extreme.
And I know your opinion.
Yeah.
You're like, good, I wish it was worse. I wish he poured it down his throat.
Obviously.
Put it in his butt or something. Okay, so, yeah, let us know, but we're gonna have bullshit and banter. Amber has something horrifying to talk about.
Okay, so, if you want to listen to a story about this, you can go to Georgia Marie on YouTube. She did this episode about Anna Dale Jane Doe.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, okay. And it's basically a Jane Doe who maybe wanted to be a Jane Doe, maybe is a serial killer victim.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not sure. So I thought it would be interesting to hear from Corey and our audience what you think. Like, obviously, identification is for the living.
Right.
That's why we identify our does or want them.
And what we
identified.
Yes. And what we mean is this older lady was found in a cemetery.
Yes.
In Annandale, Virginia.
And they called the part that she was found in Babyland because it's where they buried children and babies, and they think that maybe her child was buried here.
And this was in 1996.
Yes, because she did have a C-section scar.
Yeah, she had a C-section scar. She had an 8-inch Christmas tree next to her with red bows and gold, like, little balls. This was a week before Christmas. She had taken, her blood alcohol content was 0.14, so she had a couple drinks, and she took a Valium, and she had a bag placed over her head.
And was listening... to a comedy skit.
Yep, she had
called the 200-year-old man.
2,000-year-old man.
The 2,000-year-old man.
I've never even heard that in my literal life, but like I'm sure that some old people listen to. They do be loving those comedy skits in the 90s.
Yeah.
But what we're talking about with did she want to be a Jane Doe?
Yes.
That is because. She left a note, didn't she, Amber?
Yes. A typed note.
A typed note so that if she was identified, they couldn't compare the
handwriting. Right. And she signed it, Jane Doe.
She signed it, Jane Doe. And she left $50.
To two people.
Yeah. It says, deceased by own hand, prefer no autopsy, please order cremation and funds provided. Thank you, Jane Doe.
Yeah, she gave, like, I think she wrote that note to the coroner.
Yeah.
There was, like, one to the police and one to the coroner, I think.
Right.
Like, two different notes.
She had a Mickey Mouse, a very tiny, looks like for
a, child.
A toddler, yeah, a fanny pack
was it Mickey Mouse?
Minnie Mouse, yeah. I'm sorry. She had two cassettes. She had a plastic cup that she was drinking.
And all the cassettes she had were comedy skits.
Yeah. It says right here.
I think one was Larry the Cable Guy.
Oh, yeah. This is, yeah, Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy.
Okay, yeah.
And she was drinking a Mango Mania tea and some sort of peach. Probably looks like wine cooler.
Something about that tea is from, like, they couldn't figure out where she would have acquired it.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't look like a brand I've ever seen. It's called Mitsu.
Yeah.
Mitsu.
I think it might be from another country, Georgia was saying in her video. I can't remember.
And the peach thing is called Luza. L-O with a thing above it, like a pronunciation symbol thing. Uh-huh. And Z-A, Luza. I've never heard of that. And there was a pencil found as well. But the whole thing that Amber was like, what in the world? Is like, she, in the note, she said that she didn't want to be identified. And Amber's like, well, should we honor that?
Or not?
Because
identification's for the living.
Right. That's just for us. Like, it doesn't do anything for her.
And like, My only thing is, and Georgia said this in her video, this isn't something I just came up with.
Yeah.
What if it was a serial killer and he left the note and then he had her cremated?
Literally, he paid for it, you know, like.
Yeah.
And set it up to make it look like it was suicide.
Yeah. And she was still warm when the police got to her. So they think that she knew that she would be found quickly.
Right.
And that's why she did it where she did it. But
you know what, though? I don't know the point of putting her, like, going to the extreme of putting her in Babyland and putting the Minnie Mouse fanny pack. Why? How could they just create this whole strange story?
Oh, I don't think it was a serial killer.
How could anybody have done that? What if it was, like, a one-off person?
I don't think so. I think if it was a one-off, that would actually make more sense, obviously, than serial killer, because...
Do you think she wrote it?
Yeah.
You do? I kind of think so, too, now that I'm thinking about it, because... See, I don't think anybody would go through that much trouble to...
And that's why I'm like, do we...
identify her?
Yeah. Because I really feel like it was her...
I know.
But then there's, like, this little thing in me, like, what if her family is looking for her?
She has to be loved.
She was in an expensive clothes.
Oh, yeah. She was wearing Guess. She was wearing an Eddie Bauer shirt. She was wearing a Guess watch. She had jewelry. She had a backpack with her. And she was a funny person. Obviously, she was listening to comedy.
Comedy, yeah. Yeah, I feel like... I don't know. I don't know why this would, you know, and like, maybe she had a terminal illness or something, but no autopsy was performed, so we would never know.
Yeah, all they do is toxicology.
But they have submitted her DNA to a DNA database.
Right. And she does have a profile on the Doe Network, so if you guys want to look that up, I'll put it in the show notes, her Doe Network.
But also... I want you to tell us how you feel about that. Do you think they should try to identify her? Do you think they should not?
I want to say yes, but that's because I want to know who she is. That's all. And that's not how it should be. It shouldn't be personal for me. In reality, the right thing to do is probably just to let her rest.
Yeah, and it's been 25 years.
Yeah.
Well, almost. This December. It'll be 25 years.
I think they should let her rest. Of course, I'd love to know who she was and why she did it. And
yeah.
I wish she didn't do it.
And also, I know Mostly Harmless. Have you heard of him?
Mm-mm.
He is a John Doe that they found in a tent. They think he just, like, he wasn't murdered or anything, they don't think. They just don't know who he, or he has been identified actually now. He has been identified.
Oh, okay.
I forgot that he had. But they didn't know who he was for a long time. And
what's it called?
Mostly Harmless.
Okay.
He was found in his tent on the Appalachian Trail, and that was his trail name, was Mostly Harmless.
Oh, Vance Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, an interesting story.
Oh, this is in 2018.
Yeah, but I think he just got identified like last year.
In January.
Oh, it was January this year. I thought it was December of last year. I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Why was he called Mostly Harmless?
That was just his trail name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Why does that happen? Let me get it.
Just
fate.
Yeah. And probably just not to give out your real name to a bunch of random people that you find.
I mean,
walking a trail.
Like, one of our cases we're about to cover, someone was found on New Hope Road. Like, that's awful. There's obviously no hope.
That, yeah. That's, stuff like that is so ironic.
I know.
But, like, also, I don't really feel that Vance wanted to be known.
Yeah, probably not.
Because I'm pretty sure they're along the trail, the Appalachian Trail, there's, like, places you can stay. And I think he had stayed in one and, like, gave a fake name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Most people do that.
Yeah. And the only pictures of him were like people, I think they call them like trail angels or something. And it's like people that kind of live along the trail and will help out the hikers.
Yeah. Yeah. They had that for people for the Mount Everest.
Really?
Trail angels. Yeah. Yeah.
What do they do?
Everybody dies, so they have to like make sure they're okay. Yeah.
Oh, it's
people.
The recoverers.
No. You just go make sure nobody's died.
If you're interested in Mount Everest, check out Danielle Howland's video on it. It's really good.
It is really good. Everything she does is like, I'm like,
yeah, love she's it. So good.
And she's gorgeous. Every time I watch her videos, I'm like, how do you have that skin?
And her children are so cute and sweet.
She's goals. I'm telling
I know. You. And she's like into farming and outdoors and stuff. I love it.
And her big curly hair.
I know.
Love.
Me too. But let us know how you feel about that.
Yeah.
In the comments. I think that'll be interesting to hear.
I think this whole episode is like pretty interesting. And
yeah,
I'm excited to see the comments on our Instagram post.
Yeah, about all of it.
It's so freakish and it's so recent. But, yeah, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook,
Twitter, Crime Cafe Pod.
Yeah.
You can email us crimecafepod@yahoo.com, case suggestions, or
say hello if you have a case that that you're personally connected to that you want us to cover, if you're a family member of one of the victims we cover.
Also, if you've made it this far, you get to hear about this. We have a giveaway.
Oh, yes. If you're listening to this and it's before August 1st, 2021, you still have a chance.
Yes.
To win a coffee mug and a decal designed by us. It's a decal of Georgia.
It's amazing.
Beautiful. I love
it. I love it so much.
I have to tell you, hold on. One of our listeners, who just so happens to be one of my friends, told me that she was going to get the decal tattooed on her actual body. She said she wasn't kidding. And, like, this girl, I'm telling you, she's, like, dead serious. So, I don't know. Like, we're famous. So, that's all I got to say.
But I love the decal. That would be an amazing tattoo.
It would. And it means a lot.
And
it's Georgia.
Yeah, she's from Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I want it.
But head over to our Instagram.
Yeah, for the giveaway.
To enter the giveaway.
Mm-hmm. The rules are pretty simple. You know, we leave a link down below to our Instagram. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.